You'll open your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. And we're going to be looking this morning at Abigail, a woman greatly used of God. Let's stay with it and realizing that we're reading the Word of God, and this will be long, a lot of reading this morning because we want to get the whole story on Abigail. And the three characters really in this story are talking about David and Nabal and Abigail. And we're going to be looking at the characteristics of Abigail this morning as mothers. And men, I trust that as we look at it, and ladies, we take the same character truths because they're biblical, and we'll live those this morning. Follow along with me as I read in 1 Samuel chapter 25. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in the house of Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding, of beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish, evil in his doings, and he was the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men. David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in thy my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shears. Now may thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants now a days that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed from my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned in their way and went again and came and told them all the sayings. And David said unto his men, Gird you on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode with the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything as long as we were conversant with them and when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, and all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou shalt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. You like those kind of men, don't you? Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed, 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, Go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so as she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So and more also do God unto enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light that pisses against the wall. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed down to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, lest this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. Remember, she's talking to her about her husband here. And now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth and his soul liveth, seeth the Lord with withholding thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand. Now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth in the battles of the Lord, and evil has not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man has risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thine advice. And blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left Nabal by the morning, later that any males would be left. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy voice, thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him. For he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, lest or more until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, behold, let thine handmaid be servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and rose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her, and she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word this morning as we look at the traits of a woman that was greatly used of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity that you give us this morning to be together. And as we're together, Lord, I realize that we're coming before your presence. You're allowing us. And Lord, as much as I can see, I've strive to make sure there's no hindrances so I can talk to you purely. And this morning, as we are gathering together, we might think of your goodness to us, your greatness, your mercy to us, your compassions that are new every morning, your loving kindness, your faithfulness. Thank you for how you've been faithful in the life of Ralph and taking him to be with you at this very moment. Thank you for that testimony that you empowered him to be able to live because he strived, realizing he's man and a sinner, as you received him up into heaven as he received you as his Lord and personal Savior many years ago. And Lord, we do pray this morning for Brenda and Meredith and Carson, that you might, they might experience the wonderful grace that you give. We know it's continual because you've begun a good work in us, and it's going to continue until we go to glory. And then, Lord, it's going to be amazing. So this morning, I do pray that as we are gathered together, that we will think of your word now this morning, how important your word is. And as we look at another mother, another lady, that the lady might, her traits of her life might be so that it might shine in ours, because of the truth that she got from you and you working in her life and her allowing you to change her life. And that all of us here this morning might take these traits away with us so that we might be pleasing in your sight. And as we think of that, we also thank you for the missionaries that you do let us partner with. And we thank you for the Harrises and the Kittrells, and the Harrises as they are in Peru, that you'll guide and direct them and give the words this morning to say as they speak. The Kittrells, as they continue to run the mission there in the Philippines and the churches there and the schools there. And then we do think of the Thomases that will be able to help out there in that time, and the Ukrainian people, helping the local churches there. We do pray for our president, his cabinet, Congress, and our government here in Colchester, Connecticut, and we think of the state of Connecticut. Lord, that they all might turn to you, that they might look at your word and the consciences that you've given them of knowing right and wrong. And so we'll thank you for what you will do this morning as we now continue to lift up our hearts and our voices in song and listening of your word and giving of the finances that you've given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll stand and turn in your hymnals to number 28, a very familiar song, How Great Thou Art. For the psalmist says, great is the Lord, and he is greatly to be praised.
Consider all thy worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and see the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
And when I think that God his Son not spare me, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
And if you'll turn over to 4:29, Paul says to the church at Corinth, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithfulness. God is faithful. He's faithful in his loving kindness. He's faithful in his truth. So may the Lord find us faithful.
God has not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the strength to obey. With power and sound mind, with love the unveiling kind, oh, be not ashamed of his way. May the Lord find us faithful. May his word be our banner held high. May the Lord find us faithful. Every day though we live, though we die, no man that seeth at the things of this life is a soldier who passes the test. Be faithful, be working, be running, be serving, be searching his word for his best. May the Lord find us faithful. May his word be our banner held high. May the Lord find us faithful. Every day though we live, though we die, living gave. A life that is on par, be only our heart's desire. Be faithful from now to the grave. May the Lord find us faithful. Would be our banner held high. May the Lord find us faithful. Every day though we live,
and you may be seated as the kids are dismissed to junior church. And turn over to 451. Philippians 2:16 says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Isn't it wonderful that we know we can labor in vain, or we don't have to run in vain, and that we can be an example to those around us as we think of Mother's Day. We might think of our mothers that you might have been able to say, I saw Jesus in you. And if you couldn't say that, that your children and those around you will be able to say, I saw Jesus in you.
See my Savior's face, I will offer him 10,000 years of praise. Then I'll find that special one in whose life I saw God's Son, and through tears of joy with trembling lips these words I'll say, I saw Jesus in you, I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you say, I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw his care, I could see his love was there. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you. When I stand before my Father to receive my life's reward, and my soul is bathed in God's eternal day, when this race on earth is run, and God sees the works I've done, more than anything I long to hear my Father say, I saw Jesus in you, I saw Jesus in you. I could hear his voice in the words you say, I saw Jesus in you. In your eyes I saw his care, I could see his love was there. You were faithful, and I saw Jesus in you.
Ed, would you lead us in a word of prayer, please? If you open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 25. And I want to bring you back to, if we can just take ourselves, zoom in as we're looking into the context and the day and age that we're living in. Let's try to take that trip back in time to at this period of time, around 1900, something like that, 1000 BC. And take us back to what it would be like right as we're looking into this chapter about Nabal and Abigail and David, the three main characters. Look with me at verse number 1 of chapter 25. The Bible says, "And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran." Right before this, remember that Saul had confronted David, and David could have taken his life, but he respected the anointed of Saul, and Saul was chasing him and trying to kill him. Remember, a few times Saul had even thrown a spear at him and missed. And so we see that in that time, that David realized that Saul was going to continue to be after him. Remember, they had said, Saul had slain his thousands. And what's the Bible say that they said back then? That David slayed his 10,000s. And so it's at that area where Samuel, remember, he's on the run. David's on the run with his 600 men. And there's some that are disgruntled because Saul had treated them harshly and wrongfully. And they're with David. And then we see Samuel, who was very respected, and he was looked up to as the man of God, of course, and priest, as he should have. And they looked up at him, and then notice the scripture says, Samuel died, they all lamented him, they buried him in Ramah at his place, and then David was still on the run because Saul was still trying to kill him. That's the background of this. David is running for his life still. And the very one that was backing him up, that anointed him to be the next king, all of a sudden now, there's no one on his side as strong and as influential as Samuel. Understand that. This is a time where David would, it could have been something, if he didn't put his trust in God, he would be a time where he's saying, "Man, I'm dog meat now. The only one that was for me, the one that anointed me, the man of God, he's gone. What's going to happen to me?" And so we come to, before we look at actually go down and look at these different traits, I want to just give us a little background of what these scriptures say about Nabal first, and then Abigail, and then we'll look at those traits of Abigail. You see, Nabal was a very great man of wealth, as we see in the scriptures here. He had an inventory of livestock, many of them. And so Nabal's wealth was full of earthly possessions. Unfortunately, it was full of earthly possessions and no spiritual possessions. In fact, he was worse than bankrupt in spiritual things. Men often sell their souls to obtain it. The Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Mark 8:36. That was Nabal. No, he was spiritually bankrupt. No spiritual wealth. None. The Bible says he was a fool. But yet he had a lot of things, very rich. You see, few things are so overvalued as earthly wealth. And nothing is so undervalued as spiritual wealth. we have what we have. And by the way, we've got to realize that they're all gifts from God. But they're so overvalued. Let me have this. Would we say we'd rather have spiritual value than those things? Nabal was full of things. The Bible says that the man was churlish, or it means hard. He was harsh, and he was evil in his doings. Scripture also tells us that he was a very bad man, a man who was selfish, rude, ill-tempered, intemperate, irresponsible, ungrateful, impious, unreasonable. He only lived for the here and now, not for the hereafter. He had a bad mouth and many other bad traits. His name, Nabal, actually means fool. The word is Nabal or Nabal, and it means fool. And the Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, they're corrupt. They have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. And that described Nabal. Isaiah spoke eloquently of the fool in terms that fit Nabal remarkably, as when he said, for the vile, or talking about for the fool person will speak villainly, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail, Isaiah 32, verse 6. And that's what fit Nabal's character. And we've got to remember that Nabal was a very well high stock. He was of the tribe of Caleb. Remember Caleb? That was his tribe, a well-known tribe. You see, look at verse number 11. You'll see Nabal's selfishness in verse 11. He used I three times, and he used my four times. Look what it says in chapter 25 and verse 11. Shall I then take my bread and my water, my bread, my water, and my flesh that I have killed for my shears, and give it unto the men whom I know not whence they be? What was he full of? He was full of himself. He loved to talk about himself. Have you ever been with those that just love to talk about themselves? Please be careful. When you're talking with ones, it just seems we all love to talk about ourselves. But it'd be good for us to listen and talk and listen to, from someone else about themselves. You see, an ungenerous spirit always accompanies ungratefulness. He had a very ungenerous spirit and it accompanied ungratefulness. But then there was Abigail. Abigail was a wonderful wife. The problem is Nabal didn't let that wonderful, beautiful, godly wife influence him. Isn't that the case many times? We do not let that other one that we're married to influence us. In this case, it was someone that was a fool. But sometimes men, we forget that God's given us that wonderful, godly woman. And you know what? She just might know a little bit more than you do on that. So many times we think, boy, bless God, I'm the man of this house. And I bless God, you are. I trust you are the man of that house, and that you love and adore and love the woman of that house. And the wisdom that she brings, the spirit that she brings. Nabal didn't allow that influence in his life. She was a rare combination. We're going to see that as we go through her life. She had both beauty and brains. She was pretty and practical. She was of beautiful countenance and beautiful character. She was a wonderful woman, and she was married to a wretched man. In fact, the name of Abigail means, my father is joyous. In other words, her beauty was much more than skin deep. They were a totally mismatched person together. And we see that Abigail was a woman that God greatly used because she was in the right place where God could use her. Are you in the right place, ladies, this morning, where God can use you? You're there, and God wants to use you. So this morning, I'd like to look at some wonderful traits about Abigail that caused her to be greatly used of God, as we see in 1 Samuel 25 here. Let's look at those traits, that we might apply these traits to our lives, ladies and men, and the ones that we might already have, that we might make them abound and excel. So will you look with me as we look at the very traits, the godly traits of Abigail? I know she's one of the, as I was even talking to my wife this week, why in the world did David need to go to any other wives? This lady was right. I mean, she was great. I mean, she was it. Look with me at verse number 3. It says there, "Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding, of beautiful countenance." And so what do we see of her? First of all, number one, if you'd like to take a note, I have several different ones. I'm not going to tell you how many, because then you'll fall asleep or something. Because, you know, right when we get to 964, so number one, put number one down. She was honorable, verses 3 and 14 and 19. She manifested wisdom throughout this whole situation that her husband had gotten them into. It says she was understandable, that word for wisdom. She was one that was very wise. Remember, we have the definition of wisdom? It's the ability to apply truth to everyday situation according to God's word. The ability to apply truth to our everyday situation according to God's word. And she was very wise. She was honorable. In verse 14, look what it says in verse 14. You'll see that she was approachable. And she was approachable, which manifested how honorable she was. It says, "But one of the young men did Abigail..." Young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them." What we see there in verse 14, I see that she was very approachable, because the others that had heard this said, the only thing we can go to is Abigail, because David's going to come and kill us all. Someone's got to help. And she went and realized, because you've got to realize the background of that time. Men were everything there, and their harem, but also their ruler, their property. It was it. You'd be afraid of their lord and their master. They're afraid. And then the ladies that were first ladies, per se, or ladies there, they would just... so many things that were involved, as they had to be in their place. But she was approachable. Are you approachable? Is it easy for people to approach you? She was honorable that way. You know, in that approach, she was a good listener. You see that in verse 14. And also in verse 19, look what it says. "And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband." And so she was approachable. And she was a good listener. In fact, you'll see in verses 12 through 14, when the events of verses 12 through 14 were in progress, this servant went to Abigail immediately and really extolled David and gave her words. She was understanding and wise. She was an honorable woman. Are you honorable this morning? Number two. She made haste. Look what it says in verse 18 and verse 34. Then Abigail made haste. Why is that important? Well, you know, don't hesitate, for he who hesitates is what? Lost. Why is it important that we look at her, and this is a character trait, that she made haste? Remember, she was honorable, she was wise, and so she discerned something. If I wait too long, what's going to happen? Yeah, literally. This was something that she could not wait on. She had to make haste. I've got to come up with something to save and help all the people here of the foolish things that my husband is doing and has done, and save all of our lives. And if she wouldn't have done it quickly, without delay, there would be a lot of things that would have happened that should not have happened. And so there was a great importance of that haste and an impact, for David recognized the value of Abigail's promptness, because he said in verse 34, David said, "Except thou hast hasted and come to meet me, surely there had been not left unto Nabal by the morning any males." Any males. And so, ladies, it's important that as we discern our life, there's certain times things we've got to make. We need to make haste. We need to do it quickly, so that the right things will happen. And she was one that saw and discerned, I've got to do this quickly and do it right. For she, we see also, not only did she make haste and she was honorable, but she was, number three, helpful. She was helpful. We see her appreciation in verse 18, where she says, "Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep, 100 clusters of raisin, 200 cakes and figs, and laid them down on the asses." And look at verse 35, and it said, "So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said to her, Go in peace, thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and accepted thy person." So what do we see? She was very helpful. We see her appreciation. Notice that she did not bring David leftovers. Well, we have all these things. We can at least leave the leftovers. No, she did not make the provisions. She wasn't second rate. It wasn't inferior. It was quality. I call it this, excuse me, but this is what I've always called it. Well, let's give to the church or give to someone. And we always called it junk for Jesus. Well, let's see what I'm not using and see what I don't care. And we called it junk for Jesus. Now, we might give clothes that we've used, but honestly, when I have clothes that we try to give to those that might in need, if I think it's junk, if it's ripped or things like that, we throw it away. I want to give something in the clothes that I might not wear anymore. But nothing wrong with it. I would still wear it, but I just want, maybe it's something that is more comfortable now. By the way, those dry fits are so comfortable today, those shirts. But anyways, so you want something else. And you've got to realize, folks, that there's examples all through God's Word that we need to give the Lord the best. We need to do the best. As you have done, and as we have done here in trying to make the things right here in the church and establish certain things and remodeling certain things. I want to say to you, compliment again on last week, the Marriotts were here, and Mrs. Marriott said that she, and they've been in a lot of churches, probably thousands, but hundreds and hundreds of churches through the years. They said that we've never been at a church with a nicer church kitchen than you have here. And you know what I say to that? Well, praise the Lord. Because God's the one that made it happen, didn't he? Through giving other people, but it's God's giving, isn't it? Did you know Abigail was this way? All that food that she brought wasn't going to give them a lot of meals. But for the 600 men, it was going to give them, at least they could eat for a little bit, whether it was one meal, two meals, or three meals. And she gave the best of the crop. She was greatly appreciative. Her initiative and independence. She wanted to do things right, which is an example for us. To do things right, be helpful to others. Her admonition, she went to David and said, okay, David, as we've read the story, she came and said, now, my husband is a fool. But David listened to her admonition, and then David took that advice that she gave. And Abigail brought before David a prophetic vision of his destiny. I want you to understand that this, at this time, for Abigail to do what she did was very bold, was very heroic. Besides being helpful, she was very heroic. Abigail encouraged David to put the recent events in perspective. David could tarnish or destroy God's future plans for him if he acted foolishly in this. He knew what she knew about David. Nabal knew about David, and he said, who is this? I don't know these people. He knew all about David. But here we've got to realize that David came, and we realized that he was going after Nabal because Nabal had done something that was unworthy. Wasn't willing to give anything, and he had guarded their troops, their sheep, so no one could come and get them. At that time, it was quite regular that you'd have robbers and thieves come in and steal the sheep. David, around Nabal's, all of those sheep is very wealthy. The Bible says it was like a wall. They protected them all, did all those things for him, and he wasn't grateful at all. He wanted very stingy. But at the same time, what was David now going to go do? Okay, you didn't give me this. I'm going to go, you're done, all the males. By the way, what was at that time happening to David? Who was trying to come and end everything in David's life? King Saul. And so David was, in essence, going to, even though Nabal was guilty, in some ways, David was going to do the same thing that what? That Saul was doing to him. And he was, and he couldn't really see probably over his anger of all of this goodness that he had done and not receiving anything back from this man, this foolish man, and how he treated him. He forgot what was happening to him. And God used a woman in his life to be very heroic and come before him and say, now look. And God used prophetic discourse. He says, you're going to be the next king. She knew that. I don't know. Maybe she had talked to Samuel. I don't know. But whatever it is, the Lord gave her discernment. You're going to be the next king. And if you do this thing, it's going to be a blight on you and it's never going to leave. And David listened to her, which manifested in David's part a man after God's own heart. He listened to realize, if you wouldn't have done this, I would have gone ahead and wiped your family out. And so we see here that she was very heroic. So she was helpful in verses 18 and 35, and now she's heroic. Number four, she was heroic, verses 20 and 36. So she was honorable. She made haste. She was helpful. She was heroic. She courageously faced David. She courageously faced her harsh husband. Remember, she went back and faced him after all, knowing what she had done. You think what she was feeling like was going to happen when she went back to Nabal and said, oh, by the way, I talked to David, and he's not going to come and kill us. And her husband was a harsh man, but she was very heroic. You see that in the verses 20 and 36. Number five, she was honoring. Verse 23, what a different attitude Abigail exhibited for David than Nabal did. Nabal had nothing but scorn for David. Abigail, what did she do in verse 23? She fell prostrate at his feet, and she did this with speed as soon as she met David. This is the way really we need to be when we're regarding who? Our Lord. How many times do you go to prayer? We need to start out by going to prayer in reverence and respect to who we're talking to, as if we're bowing down before his feet and laying prostrate on the ground. We're going to learn a little more about that kind of praying next week in the disciples' prayer. But she was honoring. She honored the respect of those that over, and she was honoring people and persons. We need to regard the same thing. And then verse 24, look what it says in verses 23 and 24. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me, let the iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. She was polite. She was one that was honoring. She was humble. She saw who she really was in humility. Her humility made a difference. And humbleness can make a difference in your life. Pride must be swallowed. Abigail's approach to David was also an illustration of the only way that we can come to God for reconciliation. We must admit our guilt and sinning. We must want God's forgiveness and realize the sense of our sinfulness when it comes to our salvation. You see, a humble heart moves the heart of the God of the universe. Look at around us. The trees, the earth, the God, the creator of the universe. and he wants us to realize who he is and humble ourselves and realize when we humble ourselves, we move the very heart of God. When we don't humble ourselves, we grieve the heart of God. Abigail's encounter with David was one of a remarkable female initiated. And she quickly got off it. And she spoke right away. Really, her nonverbal plea was getting off the donkey right away and him seeing her from a distance and coming and bowing down to his feet. That humility right away sent a message. And then her words reinforced the acts that really preceded them. He could tell really what she was all about and respect those words. Why? Because she successfully interceded on behalf of her husband. She prophetically revealed David's destiny as the founder of the God's people and the nation. She prevented David from bringing judgment upon himself. And so we see not only was she humble, and number seven, we see that she was honest. Look at verse 25. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. Notice what she's saying. She's talking about who? Her husband, this man, Nabal. And he is a son of who? Son of a devil. She's saying to him, my husband's a devil. He's a wicky bad person. He's not a respectful man. Abigail was not about to justify Nabal in any way. She described him for what he was, a fool. She called him the way she what? Saw him. You see, the ungodly certainly are blinded in their thinking about themselves regarding goodness. In other words, what did she do? She sized up the situation very carefully, and she didn't whitewall it. Look at what she said, the rest of it. It says, Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Everyone had known what Nabal would have meant. And he said, he is a fool, David. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. It didn't come to me, they went to him. It would have been different. And so we see that she was very honest. And then in verses 26 through 31, number 8, we see she was holy. She was spiritually minded. Abigail responded favorably to the light of David. Nabal rejected the light. You see, she was sensitive to the needs of others. And really, she saved the day. She didn't win the day by an argument, but by wise, kind words. You see in her an example of Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. We see a wonderful example of her holiness. She was sensitive to others. She had kind words, a soft answer. She informed David indirectly that his vengeance and attitude was too cruel. Listen, she was probably used to confronting things that were going wrong because she had a fool for a husband. And she was always confronting him, possibly. And now she went and confronted the next king of Israel, of which she knew. We see that in this passage. And so the truth that we need to apply would be, before we act, we need to consider what the consequences will be as days go by. Will it bring regret later on? Because regret is one of the hardest punishments to experience. Will it bring regret? And she warned David, David, you're going to regret this. And he took that advice. She was very humane, and in that, she was compassionate and charitable and concerned. So number 9, she was humane in her compassion and her charitable, concerned. And number 10, she was hopeful. Look at verse 31. That this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. You know what the word remember in the Hebrew word there means? It means act favorably on behalf of. I've come and warned you and realized this is what God is doing, and I've warned you. She was hopeful. She says, remember your handmaid. Remember thou when you come into the authority of the kingship. Act favorably on my behalf or in the behalf of my family. And so we see one of the most noteworthy aspects of Abigail's speech was a repeated use where she said, my Lord. Her 14 times she uses this term really are both ironic and prophetic, since the word also means, in the language, my husband. She used it 14 times. She was hopeful. Are you hopeful this morning? Again, what do we say hope is? That confident expectation. Are you hopeful this morning? Do you have that confident expectations, ladies? Men, do you have that confident expectations? Are you hopeful? Are you humane? Very easy to be humane in today's society when the society is wrong is right, and right is wrong. we need to be hopeful. We need, and then number 11, the last one, she was honored. Verses 32 through 35 and 39 through 42. But notice what David does first. Through all of this, David first thanks the Lord, realizing that it comes from God. God brought a godly woman into his life to save him from doing something that he would have regretted and paid for later on down his life, and he never had to pay that. We see that's the way the Lord did work in his life later, because he did do something later on in his relationship with Bathsheba, and he regretted it, didn't he? For his whole family. We see a mess in his family for the rest of his kingship. But here, a godly woman came and said, hey, his primary source of blessing came as God used her. And as God put it on Abigail's heart. In other words, she was blessed because in her, winsomeness and wisdom were wed. Winsomeness and wisdom were wed. So let me ask you this morning as we close, are you honored today? They'll rise up and call her what? Blessed. Are you hopeful? Abigail was a very hopeful lady. She said, listen, my Lord, talking to David, remember me when all this is said and done. Remember me. And as she went and confronted her husband died of either a heart attack or a stroke, had a heart attack at that time, and then 10 days later died of that heart disease or of a stroke. And we see those very words that she stood before him and confronted that and stood on the right side because she was holy. Are you holy this morning? Are you separated from ungodliness unto God? Are you an honest person? Are you humble? Are you honoring? When tough things come and you got to confront things and take a stand, are you heroic? Are you helpful? Do you give wise advice and admonition and appreciation and try to do the best instead of just that will anything else will do? Do you make haste to do right, because if you wait any longer, some wrong things or bad things are going to happen? Are you an honorable person? Now, as we close, let me just ask you a question. Do you want to be used of God? Ladies, do you want to be used of God? Every single person here this morning that knows Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, because the Spirit of God is in you, has to answer positive to that. But now, what price are you willing to take to be used of God? I think Abigail paid a huge price to be used of God. And I believe God's given us this example for us that you can be used of God by the traits that we see in her. We can take these traits and we can be greatly used of God. Your family, and your workplace, and your church place, that we might see people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we might see people as we build relationships and we disciple one another and we grow together and know more about him, so that when we come before our Savior, he might say, well done, that good and faithful servant. A woman greatly used of God? Are you used of God? Do you want to be used of God? What is it that you have to do to be used of God? Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for you even wanting to use us. Thank you for the relationship that you've given to us through salvation, being our Heavenly Father. And so, Lord, this morning, I thank you for mothers. I thank you for the ladies here. And I thank you for Abigail. And I pray that each one of the ladies here can go away from here and not leave the traits of Abigail here as we've talked about them, but we'll take them outside the walls of this building and practice them. We as men might take the same principles. God, oh, that we be used of you. God, you want to use us. Oh, to be used of God. Please help us to be honest with ourselves, just as Abigail was honest about her husband, but also herself, that we might be honest where we're at. And you've placed us and put us at a certain place. Now, Abigail was at that place you had placed her, and she was ready to be used. And she took the initiative. And I pray that we might be ready and take the initiative. In Jesus' name, amen.